Welcome to the Incubator Podcast. This is your co-host, Abir Saran.
And I'm Darren Boyd. And today we're going to be talking to Synac. They were founded in 2013. They're a cybersecurity company that leverages crowdfunded talent. And we're going to get all into that product and platform. So started in 2013. I think they raised just over $100 million in funding so far. 107? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It started with Jay Kaplan and Mark Kerr, who have deep roots in NSA, DISA, et cetera. They're academics, computer scientists. They've done a lot of really, really interesting things. And they came together to create Synac. With us is Tim Lawrence, solution architect at Synac. Tim is, he didn't describe himself this way, but Tim is a pragmatic strategist. He's been in leadership and in cybersecurity his entire career. We're really excited to have you, Tim, on the show and to help talk about Synac. So why don't I hand it over to you? If you wouldn't mind just doing an intro of yourself, maybe you tee up how you would describe Synac to folks, and then we'll dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the warm welcome. I am Tim Lawrence. I'm a solutions architect, mostly working on the East Coast for Synac. Previous to that, I spent 16 years in working for an industrial company, and six of those years I was actually the CIO, so I have done some leadership. But yeah, Synac, we do strategic and transformational security testing, way beyond the pen test. And our platform is really where all the magic happens. So as you're doing an assessment, you can see all the magic happening in the analytics that helps you really get to the root cause of problems that you're having.
Tim, let's double click right into that. So we talk about traditional pen testing in the landscape of things. Everybody's familiar with it. How is that been shaping, right, the pen testing space or beyond as we look at the threat landscape as a whole impacting the enterprise? And then how does Synac now, Synac's offering actually play right into it?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So pen testing usually is a point in time, usually a 2-week, 2-people pen test. When that happens, traditionally, you bring 2 people into your environment, they sit around, they hack around and try to figure out where you can exploit any vulnerabilities. Then about a month later, you get a report. So you may have some critical vulnerabilities in there that you didn't know about for a month later. Our approach to that is more of a continuous, is kind of our competitive advantage on that. We do have point in time pen testing, but we're trying to really move from tactical pen testing to more security testing as a whole, moving to a more strategic. Where are your root cause problems? Is it authentication? Because you get to see these in near real time exploits hitting your platform for remediation immediately. So you're not having these known vulnerabilities. You know, 80% of the exploits out on the web right now are known vulnerabilities. Why are they getting out there? So that's kind of where we play into that.
Yeah. So what was the, we're going to get into where your big differentiators are, and I think it's pretty remarkable what those are. What was the inspiration when Jay and Mark come together and they're thinking about forming this company? It was the issue that, just what you said, it's a point in time, traditional pen testing, and we really want to start in a continuous space. Or did they look at it and say, you know what the problem is? These tools don't have enough context. It's a people problem at the end of the day. We want to apply something different. How did some of that shape out or shape up, if you will?
Yeah, you know, from my understanding and what I've seen from Mark and Jay is definitely that experience from the NSA, that Shark Tank moment where they're like, you know, we could create something that we could bring more talent and pay people to find exploitable vulnerabilities. And that's really how it started. So you can't really take the people out of it. Hackers, at the end of the day, they're artists. So there's an art to this. And 2 people that are researchers looking at the same problem may have 2 different ways to exploit that. And bringing in a group, you know, we have over 1,500 researchers in over 80 countries. We'll put them on target in cohorts, usually 60-100 at a time. That allows different, and actually we know what the skills of our researchers are, because they've all been tested through the vetting process. So being able to put people that know exploits and know what the target is, so we know ahead of time this is a Windows environment or whatever, a web Windows environment, then we'll take people that have more experience in that and put them on platform or put them on your assessments. So that's kind of where they were coming from when they built that out. It was really that crowd or that community. We really like to call it a community because they start to help each other as well. That community sourced aspect of pen testing and it's really security in general.
Yeah, so why don't we talk a little bit about how Synac works? So we've got some vignettes so far. I see it as two different pieces. One is the platform itself, and there's a lot of reinforcement in that platform. We can talk about LaunchPoint and SmartScan and some other things with the platform. And then you have this community that you're referencing, and they're doing really interesting things. And everything from how you find these people, how you vet these people, how you reward these people is an interesting dynamic. Can you start walking us through those two pieces of the puzzle and how they work together? And then we'll probably break in and go a little bit deeper on each. But it is a fascinating model.
Yeah, where you want me to start off at? Because there's a lot there to take in. So
that's fair.
you tell me where we want to start and we'll start from there.
So why don't we start on the platform? Because that gets really interesting from LaunchPoint, SmartScan, and then it naturally feeds into the SRT team. So why don't we start there, and then we'll bring it up back to the people.
Yeah, sure. So I'll basically talk to you like basically the day in the life of being a Synac client for the first time.
Perfect.
So our platform is role-based. So it's role-based at the assessment level. So when you log in, an assessment is actually a test. So an assessment would have assets in it. If it's a web assessment, then it's a web application. And if it's host, then it'd be either IPs or it could be cloud. The top three cloud we'll integrate in with. So it could be some API integration into that. So basically what happens in the day in the life is we can get into SmartScan and everything else, but the client has the ability to do onboarding themselves for most of our assessment types. The only thing right now would be mobile is something that we're working on in the platform where the client can do that. But we, as solutions architects, will put that into the platform for them. But a web host assessment client can go in, walks them right through step by step. If it's credentialed, they can put their credentials in there as well. Any role based in that, because we want to be able to test those roles. And then they submit it to us. And when we take that and we look at it, me as a solutions architect will look at that and go, do you have the right to actually pen test this? Do you own the domains or do you own the IPs or do we have the right as Synac to actually test this? From that point, we bring it up live. We invite, we'll do a smart scan for 2 days initially, just interrogating the targets and just laying out that enumeration and laying out what's ahead of the researchers. Day three, we invite in that subset, that cohort of researchers. So those researchers will come in to target. And about day 3 to 4, you'll start to see vulnerabilities coming into your platform if they're exploitable. Exploitable vulnerabilities to us have been proven by a human. So a human has written those up. They get submitted. Our vulnerability operations team, there's two people that goes through two people in our vulnerability operations team just to verify, is it written to our standard? Is it clear? I mean, we have researchers across the world. So our clients can, is this clear to our client? Is it repeatable? Make sure that it's not a duplicate. And once our team pushes basically a red button, it publishes to our client's portal and the client can start remediation immediately and our researcher gets paid for that exploit. So that's kind of that whole process in the day in the life in the very beginning. So you can start bringing that researcher back in. Let's say you fix the issue. That you can go in, you can log in, you can see the report or the vulnerability written up and you go, you know what, I fixed this. Click it to submit it to have that researcher come back in to make sure that you've actually fixed it. So it's a very cyclical process. Reduce that risk in your environment as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. So Tim, in that kind of process of cyclical, how are clients then utilizing it from a continuous perspective, right? So as we talked about, pen tests were traditionally point in time, 3 days, you get a report 30 days later type of thing. And in this case, what you've described, comprehensive, both from a scanning, platform scanning perspective, as well as a red team or researcher going in there, exploiting the vulnerabilities, identifying it, and retesting. So where do clients typically leave off with this now, right? From a kind of standard mode to be making this more of a continuous practice, and how does Synax support that?
Yeah, absolutely. So great question. Synax supports that from our continuous model. You've got something, an application that's your intellectual property, perfect opportunity for continuous pen testing. Something that is revenue generating, or if it was down, it would affect your brand, then continuously pen test this. And if you think about your pen testing or just your code in general as an assembly line, so it goes from a concept to being created to actually having a product at the end, which is your web application that's consumed by your clients. That's no different than a car being assembled on an assembly line. So Toyota revolutionized the assembly line by taking the analytics and measuring and putting that back into the system. So the analytics coming off of our platform is going to tell you remediation timeframes, your efficacy. So how well are you remediating the first time around? It's going to show you the severity of the vulnerabilities over time. And it's also going to tell you the vulnerability categories. So I have clients now that will use, they have three separate web assessments, and they're actually three separate developers. So they use continuous pen testing to find the things that work very well, and they will upskill their other teams. So that's one example of how clients are using continuous pen testing to drive change in the entire process. So you can see it's moved beyond pen testing now into very strategic security testing. You're now finding root causes of the problem and fixing them back in the front of the assembly line. So you're building quality back into your product.
Yeah. One of the questions I would have around that, when you're doing continuous scanning, are you looking for, do you rescan on certain triggers like, hey, we noticed that you did a code change, right? Because we're tied into Jira or any of your other integrations. And therefore that's going to kick off the platform to do smart scan. Or is it just continuously looking at exploits? What kind of triggers some of those activities to get to that enumerated list where a human's going to look at it and say, well, let me take a look and make sure this is legit?
Yeah, that's a great question in what differentiates an exploitable vulnerability from a suspected vulnerability, because most people will use scanners in their vulnerability management program. It's just a lot of noise. We're all about laser focusing remediation efforts, the exploits that actually matter, the exploitable vulnerabilities. So the only way that you know that it's exploitable, you got to exploit it. If not, it's just a suspected vulnerability. So when you look at our platform, you'll have exploitable vulnerabilities and suspected vulnerabilities. Suspected were picked up by SmartScan, goes through our process, our orchestration, and basically it funnels it down. We're trying to get down to the things that matter for you as an organization to fix. And when it falls out at the bottom and says, I need a researcher to go look at this to see if it's exploitable, you can see that process get triaged and moved in the platform. And you'll see a scanner say it's, you know, whatever. And a researcher will come back and go, I was able to exploit it this way. And it becomes even more advanced than your scanner will ever find.
Yeah.
And that's how we differentiate that. So anything that says exploitable vulnerability in our platform has been proven by three humans, basically, that it's been exploited, and then it's been proven by two other people in our organization.
So, Tim, in a world that's increasingly focused on context, and context is king here, we've added context with the Synax platform with researchers to a known vulnerability. How does this all fit into the traditional understandings? You know, we talked about the pen testing aspect, but overall vulnerability management, right? You had your traditional tools out there that do vulnerability management, but maybe have aspects of scanning as well. Not to call pick on any one of them. You know, you have Rapid7, you have Qualys, you have some emerging mm-hmm. ones, Vulcan and Obsidian and things of that nature. So how does this complement maybe the management side of things, or is it in a situation where Synax is just jumping ahead, front end, providing that context so that way you can better run a vulnerability management program?
So the way Synax is going to play into this is, so Synax does two things. We do open vulnerability discovery and we do guided discovery. Guided discovery is just, think of it as a mission. So that's what we call missions. It's very guided. Traditional vulnerability management, I've worked enough of these in my past, and that's just how it used to be, but it needs to morph into something strategic now. Before it was, I like to call it whack-a-mole security. It's like, we fix something, You think it's fixed, your scanner picks it up the next week and it's not fixed. What we're doing is we're verifying first off. So if our scanner does pick it up and it farms it out to a researcher and becomes an exploitable vulnerability, a researcher gets paid on that. You as an organization know it was actually truly exploitable. So it was laser focused in your remediation efforts. You've fixed it. And now you bring our researcher back in that found that vulnerability and says, yes, you fixed it, or no, you didn't. And that actually affects your KPI for efficacy on how well you did it first time around. And a lot of people don't look at efficacy in a vulnerability management program. They go, I found these severities, because they're so driven. Most vulnerability management's driven by compliance, and it's all about getting a check in the box. And it's just like, I do this because I have to do it. Well, that's got to change. You've got to be able to do this because you're building a better product. And at the end of the day, we're coming in and verifying we found this exploitable vulnerability. Now you're verifying that it's fixed. So you get to sleep at night on that one's fixed. So that's really how our process works in that aspect of things, and where we play into a vulnerability management, and we can help you take your vulnerability management program to another level, because now you're finding those root causes of what could be causing these authentication problems or whatever your top categories are. So another KPI that kicks out and gives you root cause analysis that you can push back into your process.
Yeah, one of the things I find so elegant in your approach to this is that platform for the reinforcement, the capture, the replay, and where it can be a learning vehicle for the customer, but also love to focus on SRT. So Synnex team of their red team. So if you could, can you walk us through, this is you've chosen a very interesting economic model, which is we're going to incentivize you for finding the vulnerabilities and exploiting them, which is incredible, because it means I can bring as an adversarial opponent, I can bring my own TTPs to bear. I'm incentivized to find this and exploit it. And so that's very different than coming in with a time and materials engagement and setting up shop and doing this one-time event. So can you walk us through what that community looks like? How do you find these people? You've got 1,500, which is just so impressive. And it's not just 1,500 practitioners. It's 1,500 very skilled, highly vetted by Synnex practitioners. Can you walk us through that side of the equation? Because these people are very hard to find and retain.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the questions previous to me coming to Synnex. I was always like on the fence going, do I really want to use people I don't know? Well, I can tell you after being at Synnex, we probably know them better than we know our own kids. We joke around and say we know probably what their kids are taking to lunch. But that vetting process is about a 6-month process, and it's vetted for skills and trust. So we do truly know everything about the people that are on our platform, and it's gamified on the back end. They compete against each other as well. You have the Acropolis, so you can go out to acropolis.synnex.com and see who our top players are. And they're also mentors. They get recognized for mentorship and mentoring each other. Log4j was a great example of that. One of our top researchers on Log4j was mentoring the next day the rest of the researchers that wanted to be part of this. So it truly is a community at the end of the day, in the back end of what's going on. And it is the skills, they do get vetted for skills. And like I said, it's a 6-month process, and there's a waiting list. We don't just take everybody. We want our researchers to get paid well, and we keep the platform happy and the amount of researchers happy to be able to put on clients' assets. So that's kind of the whole process that goes through. I mean, it goes way deeper, you know, as far as background checks and political affiliations and blah, blah, blah. We know everything about them. But that's what it looks like to become a red team member.
Yeah, that's huge.
Awesome. Tim, coming back putting this all together for from a practical use case perspective, if you're an organization, we talked about how to actually, you know, what value Synnex provides and et cetera. But if you have like a overall set of applications, you talked about your top tier business applications, high profile applications, you want to be testing them on a continuous basis. So if there's no existing kind of threat model around these applications, is this even a good, great place or great way to understand your application pattern or security pattern, if you will, blueprint and model threat applications, or sorry, threat model for these applications out, leveraging Synnex? So now you can profile a set of applications, and similarly, a group of the applications that your entity or your organization might have to say, hey, you know, based on this business application or this criteria, we ran, you know, against a Synnex platform, we found these vulnerabilities, here's the threat model. By and large, this applies to, I don't know, 20% of our other application base. Do you see kind of like that type of motion happening with clients or that type of use case? Or if not, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a good question. That one's that's one of those questions you want everybody to get to. Uh-huh. It's just how mature is your overall process, your security and your vulnerability management process. We get clients that are super mature, and we are very ingrained in their entire process and even our integration into their platforms as far as Jira, ServiceNow. Have clients that actually have developed against our own API to push into a GRC platform for them. But it's a maturity level. It's, do you know what is your bread and butter applications? What is the cycle? How are they? Obviously, those should probably be on a pretty massive cycle for development and release. And then you get into your ancillary applications, maybe they're marketing sites. Well, if it's your bread and butter and it moves a lot in a development cycle, then you definitely want to be continuously pen testing that. But when I talk to my clients, if there's just marketing sites and I'm like, hey, when was the last time you did any development on this? Well, we didn't. Okay, well, let's get a 2-week pen test on this. It'll give you an idea where you're going. I have a client right now that's they're maturing in their process, and I run an asset level discovery, and it basically runs a mass and then gives me a bunch of information that I can have a conversation with a client. And I'm like, here's interesting terms. I pull out interesting terms that I see, APIs, logins, these type of things. And I start to have those type of conversations with clients going, what is this? A lot of clients don't even know. There was one not long ago. They're like, we don't own that domain. I'm like, yeah, you do. Because they don't know. Everything's so massive now and everything's so dispersed. So you've got to get a handle on that. You've got to tier off your infrastructure. So, you know, this is the highest tier. Continuously pen test this, and it just falls down into tiers, and it falls down into, this is just a 2-week pen test. But yeah, that's where we play, and that's how the maturity of the security model has to change. And we're definitely helping people drive that, because now they can see analytics. Before, people got a pen test and it was just that, it was just a report to share with either auditors or tell somebody we got something done.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to see, wow, we might have some problems here, some root cause problems. Is this a training issue? Do I not have enough people? What is this? So the KPIs don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that. I was curious if when you have, because you're recording everything and we can show how a vulnerability was exploited and what all the steps were to go down that path. I was curious if you're finding interest in even the developer community. Are they looking at this and going, wow, that is actually a really interesting...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. And you look back at traditional pen testing and just traditional vulnerability management in whole, you would run a scanner, you would go, okay, I got this vulnerability in my environment. It's not even, you don't even know if it's exploitable at this point. You take it to a team that's fully operational and they're having to come away from development to fix something that's not even proven. So the first thing you do, or the first thing you want to do, is hand them a report, or they're part of our platform that can log right in. It's role-based. They have access to the only thing that they can see. And they go, I see exactly how this was exploited. Because our researcher does a stop and report, and they step-by-step screenshots sometimes, movies sometimes, the script they use. This is exactly how it was exploited. And here's what I would do to fix this. And when you hand that off to a developer, it's like, it's an aha moment. They're like, oh, thank you so much. Cause they know the risk to their environment if it's exploitable, and they just want to know, is it proven?
Well, it's funny. Yeah. Cause that's one of the, call it sometimes it can be an adversarial relationship between security and development. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that often comes out of it is, hey, I don't believe that that is exploitable. You prove it. And all of a sudden yes. now we've got a little bit of a stalemate and almost a DDoS attack back at the security practitioner because they can be outnumbered 10, 20, 30 to one. So this becomes a really interesting conversation for proof. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's changing the dynamic between those two groups as well. So that's good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things when I talk with clients or potential clients, that KPI that shows what was the most vulnerable category, it's a great opportunity to take the security team and the development team and bridge a gap and say, I want to bring somebody in that shows us what they look for in this vulnerability or show us how we should fix this or how we could better ourselves. It's a great bridge building. So you can even use our platform for bridging teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could see that. And by the way, for anybody watching the podcast, if you see a white fluffy tail moving around, that's another special guest, Tigger, which is Sabir's dog. So, Tim, I was hoping you could also walk us through. You have a lot of different engagement models. Can you walk us through kind of that progressive sequence of subscriptions or engagement models, when a customer should be interested in each maybe, and what is comprised of that engagement? Because there's a lot of different ways to engage with your platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talk about the different models that we have from our offerings from a 14-day discover all the way up to a continuous model.
Yeah, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're actually rebranding. We're going to be calling it Synac 14 now. We used to call it a discover or a certify. And we have a credits model now. So credits is like a Synac currency. So you can use that to spin off missions. Missions are guided vulnerability discovery. So it's a single researcher to go out and do something very specific. Does Log4j, is it exploitable in my environment? That's a mission. So the offerings, so as a solutions architect, we run that attack surface or asset level discovery. So a bunch of open source tooling that spits out a spreadsheet. And now I can have a conversation with a client. And I can also look ahead of time and go, this is what their external attack surface looks like. Now, we can talk internal as well with clients, but from an external standpoint, here's what's interesting. Here's what you probably should look at. And then we start to look at what is their intellectual property applications. And if they're cloud providers, if it's the top three, then we kind of have that conversation with cloud infrastructure and that whole integration we can do there as well. So right now we have, basically, it's super easy. We have a 14-day engagement, which is a Synac 14, or we do our 365, which is a continuous engagement. And we also actually have some continuous 90-day engagements now that we're coming out with. So it depends on the client and what you're seeing and the maturity level of the clients in their whole vulnerability management program. So you really got to understand and have that conversation with them as well. Most people will come in and definitely just want to look at their external attack surface. And they may only want a pen test for a 2-week engagement. So that would be a Synac 14, but they may want to run a premium web mission, which is a bunch of missions we will run against that. It's OWASP top 10. And that'll spit out a report for them. So if they want to see session management was actually looked at, and it's guaranteed coverage that way. So that's kind of where it lies. And then you'll get a maturity level where a client goes, hey, I might want you to do internal. So we have to do either an IPsec termination internally or an OpenVPN, an OVA in their virtual environment internally, which most clients do. And then we have access to their internal network. And all this is really cool because we do go across LaunchPoint, which is our VPN. And if the client wants to take us out of the equation, say it's I've got a retail clients. If it's close to the holidays, they'll just push a little button and then stops, it basically kills the VPN and no more traffic there. So it takes us out of the equation. So you get full control of your assessment on our platform as well. So that's kind of the maturity and what we're offering now. And, you know, there's clients that I may have a conversation with and it's like, man, that might be more of a special project. And I go back to my internal team and maybe we talk about a special project for that, especially a well-established client.
Great. Great. Well, Tim, this was really exciting to have you on the show. Very informative, and hopefully our listeners take heed in terms of the opportunity space to improve their vulnerability management, their pen testing programs to more towards of continuous testing. Again, thank you very much for the spirited discussion.
No, absolutely. Thank you all very much as well.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.